Good morning, everyone. I have a question for you right off the bat. Are you effective at being a student or a professor or as a child or parent or brother or sister or grandparent? Are you effective? We need to ask ourselves this question at times because when we think about it, there's really only one answer to that question. Now, yes, you can be effective in certain places at certain times, but when you think about it, how many times have you told yourself or other people that you're going to accomplish this or that, and then you don't? You really want to. It's not as if you change your mind about it and decide not to do it. No, you really do want to accomplish this thing or that thing, and yet you don't. Well, that, my dear fellow Christians, is because you are ineffective. And our God, as our text says, is the exact opposite of how ineffective we are. You see, He is effective in what He wills to accomplish. So that's why we're going to be focusing this morning on how God accomplishes what He says He will with His unfailing word. Our text for today is from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 13. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I send it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The very first verse of our text talks about how snow and rain cannot help but cause the earth to grow and produce. You see, rain simply cannot fall without also watering plants and causing them to grow. Now, I know. Rain can fall somewhere where it doesn't have any plants to water. Think the desert or in the ocean. But that's not what the Lord is talking about here. You see, if rain does fall in or near a plant, it of course is going to water it and help it produce and grow. There's no question about it. Rain is simply going to help it produce. It's in the very nature of rain to do that. Well, so also, by the very nature the Word of God is going to accomplish what God sends it forth to do. You see, when God commands, it is done. From the beginning of the world, when God said, "Let there be light," to the end of the world, when Christ will say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world," and everything the Lord commands in between and after, when God commands it, it is done. No matter how marvelous. Now, our prophet Isaiah lived before the time of the Babylonian exile. So much of his message was focused on warning those Jews about this exile and what they could do to avoid it. Repent, come back to the Lord, and he would be great in his mercy. But our text is past all of those warnings, and our text has moved on to the comfort of the return. You see, instead of warning the Israelites about this coming exile, it was now promising that to them that this exile would not last forever, and that in 70 years, yes, they would return. But this claim that the Jewish nation would be allowed to return from their exile would be unbelievable in their day, and also in our day as well. In their day, you can think of the Babylonians, who had conquered other nations already, and you can think of the 10 northern tribes of Israel that had been deported a few hundred years ago from Isaiah's time, and they were never to return. And you see, that was kind of the point of exile. People weren't exiled for 10 years or 20 years or even 70 years. The point of exile was to permanently relocate a group of people so that they would no longer rebel against their conquerors. You see, if you were thinking about rebelling, but then 30 to 40% of your population got picked up, moved, and set down somewhere else where you don't know the lay of the land, you don't know what language the people speak there, and so you're forced to assimilate as part of this empire that conquered you. Well, your kids are going to grow up there thinking that they're just part of the empire, and most rebellions are going to cease. So the Jews from Judah, they would have had no earthly reason to expect a return from exile. But they had something much better than an earthly reason. They had their God and our God's eternal promise that yes, their exile would only last 70 years, and they would be returning. This word of God would not fail them, no matter how unbelievable it might seem. And speaking of unbelievable, I'd like to draw your attention to the 11th verse of our text. Not only did this passage assure the exiled Jews that they would be returning, but it also assures us of the effectiveness of the Word of God in our witnessing to unbelievers, when we use it to comfort our fellow believers, or even when we're using it to help strengthen our own faith by daily Bible study. Now, if any of these actions was dependent on how effectively I use my words and how effective I am, well then I might be too terrified to ever try, because I know just how ineffective I am. Now, what about you? Do you find yourself being as ineffective as I am in, say, witnessing? Do you fail to witness to other people because, well, religion doesn't really belong in this situation, you know, and maybe I won't bring up religion at work. You know, those will just be my work friends. Maybe you avoid witnessing your faith because you don't think that the person would ever believe anyway. They don't really seem like they'd make a good Christian. Well, maybe you don't try witnessing because you've tried before and it didn't work that time, and now they kind of think you're a little strange. So you wouldn't want to bring it up again and just reinforce their opinion of you. Maybe you skip talking about your faith because religion's a sensitive topic with that person, or you think that it's not your place to talk to them about your faith. Well, I know I've made those excuses before. I know that I've been ineffective in my witnessing. I pray you haven't been, but I'm afraid of that awful truth. So what do I do when I'm feeling like not witnessing in these situations? When my stomach is turning over? Well, if I can remember this passage, then I can sometimes force some words through my disobedient brain and out my mouth, because I've remembered that no matter how ineffective my words really are or just seem to be, I know that God's word is still effective, and it will accomplish what he pleases. Our effective God more than makes up for our ineffectiveness. Now, the effectiveness of God's word is compared to the rain and snow in our text, and yet even this comparison falls far short of the real deal. You know, I doubt there's ever been a farmer who's never had these thoughts. Thoughts such as, boy, I sure wish we could have gotten more rain last night. Or, on the opposite side, now is just the worst time for a rainstorm. You see, God's word is not under-applied, over-applied, or applied at the wrong time. God governs when, where, and how much of his word should go out, so that those who need to hear it are witnessed to and comforted. And people need to be witnessed to and comforted. How else are they going to be brought to faith or assured of the promise that our Lord has proclaimed to us? Paul says in Romans, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if these people aren't brought to faith, or if your fellow Christians aren't comforted, then they might not remember this promise that our Lord has made to us. This promise that is almost unbelievable in how it would be attained. Yet our effective God attained it for us, no matter how hard the devil tried to stop him. Now, in order to make good on this promise, the Lord had a mighty large checklist to complete. Just a few of them would be that God had to redeem the world. Check. God had to create the world in the first place. Check. God has to create faith in all of us using his word. Check. God has to preserve our faith until the last day. Check. And finally, the last thing on the checklist is that God will bring us all to eternal glory with him on the last day. And while this is as good as checked, because we know that the word of our God will not fail in what he sends it to do. Amen. We'll close with hymn 775, verses 1 and 3.